Accession number 14976, Joseph Weir, Reel 1.
Mr. Weir, Reel 1. When and where were you born, Mr. Weir?
Blairnantyne, Thomas Terrace.
And the date?
2nd July 1919.
Your father, what did he do for a living?
There is a good story there, because my father left home before I was born. I will come to that later.
So
it was my mum, two sisters and a brother, in a upstairs two-room flat with the old cobble back street.
How old were your sisters and brothers, older or younger than you?
Well, no, I was the youngest. As I say, father left home before I was born. My younger sister had been born just before the war, and my elder sister and brother before that.
So your mother must have had a pretty rough time.
A rough time.
How did she cope?
Well, how did women cope that time? I mean, she took washing in, you know, the old-fashioned, but she took washing in, and she would used to clean houses. And later on, when there was just, my sisters went away to service, and my brother was married, I was left just with mum. I knew for a fact how much we got, because we used to get 7 and 6 from the guard, from the parish, as it was called then, and I used to have to go and straight and pay the rent, which was 2 and 6. And then we had to pay we used to owe the little shopman, the man at the end, about, you owe him a shilling, another 1 and 6. And I always was allowed a penny cake that the day of the payday, if that was something which was always allowed. And the hardest thing I ever thought, I was about 12 years of age, when my Uncle Harry, he came from Sunderland. He came by bus to see my grandmother had died. And he gave me mother the ticket to go back to Sunderland. And he walked back. I'll say it was like a lot more. They had no money. He walked back. He gave me mother the ticket. And I got a note off my mother to take to the parish for this money. And I had to tell them the tale just as I've told you. He says, well, where did Uncle Harry get the money? I says, I don't know. He says, well, your mother'll have to say it. And we got no money that week. That beat in my mind from that day. That was one of the hardest things I ever come across. But my mum, as I say, she used to clean up and she used to polish. And my elder sister was a brick. She was away in service. And I always remember she worked in Grosvenor Place. Because I used to always say it was Grosvenor, and she was Grosvenor, and she always sent a little, and that sister brought me up. She brought all my clothes, you know, she kept me in decent clothes after that, when I became a lad, 13, 14, got into long trousers and that, she kept me, and she was, if ever there was an angel, that was that sister. Which later in life, probably later on the tape, I would tell you about later on, but she was a great lass. Well, I went to Bladen St. Joseph's Roman Catholic School, the ordinary school them days, you know. I liked running, but I was a poor footballer, poor cricketer, but running was my little bit, because my brother had been club champion. I thought I would follow in his suits. I followed in his suits, but I wasn't as good as him. Well,
what memories have you got of schooling? Were there happy memories?
I tell you, the headmaster at that school, Mr. Wordsworth, was a gentleman of gentlemen. I met a chap when I come to Gosforth here, and he had been a headmaster, and he asked me that question. He says, "Oh, Mr. Wordsworth," I says, "Oh, a gentleman, if ever there was a gentleman." He had a limp. I don't know if it was a war wound from the first war, but he always had a limp. I don't know what that was. But at school, I did quite well. I know I was in top class 2 years because I had, you know, I could manage that way. The more or less the last 6 months of my schooling, I was in charge of the sports cupboard, and I was just, I was out looking after other people, and I did. Now I enjoyed the school life.
What was the discipline like at school?
Well, discipline was strict. I mean, if you were sent to the headmaster, you dreaded it. But one of the funniest things I've got from coming from school is this year I was in Form 1, 2 and 3, and there was a stand at 6 and 7, and, you know, the ones who went to forms were supposed to be the ones who were a little bit soft. I was standing in the schoolyard this year, and there was a lad, well, you knew all about him, and I was great friends later on, a lad called Jackie Burns, and he was a tough guy. And he come down, and I went to the front, and he come and he put in, I hit him. And I knocked him on the ground, and he went away, and that was it. And then I found out I was supposed to be the toughest guy in the school. So I had an ordinary school life. I passed for the second scholarship to go to the higher school, but we couldn't afford it, and that was it. So I just had to go until I was 14. When I was 14, still living in the same house, I got a job at Wickham as a grocery lad, pulling a batter up to Sunnyside and down to Swarborough and back again for 5 shillings.
What hours did you work?
I had to be there for 9 o'clock, and the shop was open at 7:30. Then I used to walk back and forward. And I was going to leave because, you know, it was real bad weather walking up. To one of the girls in the shop says, well, if you wait another month, you'll get the Christmas tips, which is a big help. And I did. And I got the Christmas tips. It came to about 30 shillings. And, I thought I was a millionaire. When I went home, my mother, what, you couldn't believe it. But that made our Christmas. I know my mother was very, very pleased because that money helped our Christmas out. So I was only there a few months.
What kind of things as a growing child did you get up to, you know, day by day with leisure and activities you had?
Well, I mean, the Indians, you know, as I said, this friend that I've just met, him and I used to go for walks. We used to walk on a Sunday afternoon, you know, go along chasing the lasses on the Sunday night. And walk the Wrighton Willis and things like that. And we used to do, there was a farm closed down, and they made that a play field at Bladen. And we used to go there and play football and cricket, you know. And from 14, I had mentioned my brother was in the Harriers. At 14, the Harriers were my love. I joined the Harriers then. And through me, they formed a youth section at Bladen. And we turned out and one of the lads that joined was one of the best runners the North East ever seen, Matty Smith. He was a champion, one time he was a champion in the North East, Northumberland, Durham. Half mile, 3 miles, 6 miles, 9 miles cross country. The only race he couldn't run was the Morpeth. He ran the Morpeth Newcastle Road race. He ran that, and he was supposed to be favourite, but he finished about 60th. I was still 20 behind him, like, but it was a memory that Matty had never forgot that.
There wasn't a great deal of money around, so there wouldn't be much really for food and clothing. How did you manage that?
I've seen my sister, the one that was in service. She kept me in clothing with a tally man. The man come to the door, you know, Mr. Woodger. He used to look forward to come. And I always remember one Christmas, I always remember what I got off my mum for Christmas. It was one of these boards with the hooks on and a ring through, you know, and that was the pleasure you get out of that. And you could ask your friends in to come and play, you know. It was nothing, but it was something. You had got something where normally it was apples and oranges and a brand new penny.
Clothing, could you afford clothing? New clothing?
Well, as I say, I got... There wasn't a lot of hand-me-downs, you know, there was this. I think there's more hand-me-downs these days. I mean, well, it was, you know, I think it was... Your parent, your mother used to say, you're not going to get second-hand clothes. You know, as I say, my sister Elizabeth, well, everybody called her Betty after that, but she kept me well clothed through the tallyman come to the door.
Tallyman, what was that? Who was that?
Well, that's the man that come and give you a ticket, like the Provident is now, but it was a private, you know, a little private firm. But he had the suits and everything. He got all his clothes. So that was it. And then,
did you join an organisation like the Boy Scouts or Boys Brigade?
No, I say the Harriers was my. We used to go training Tuesday and Thursday, racing on Saturday. You know, and that was. I mean, I remember when I was 14, 15, my mates were starting to go to dances. No, it was on a Tuesday and Thursday, and that was when you were training with the Harriers. No, the Harriers was my. Hey. But when I left that factory, that work, and I went into the Bladen Chemical Works after that, and I got 10 shillings a week for 47 hours.
What were you doing there?
General labouring. You, it made them manure for the farmers, you know, and you had to pull load motor to help the load motors, but you had a barrel which you put two bags on, which like 200 you had in a bag, and then you had to lift two, you just lift them onto a wagon and things like that. And then I got an easier job. I got moved from there to be labour to the plumber, who was a great man and helped me a lot, you know, in my young life, this plumber, you know, George, name's gone. But he was such a nice lad. Then I got moved from there to the mill, which was grinding superphosphate, grinding phosphate to make it. That was just like sand. And I was the youngest one ever to do that. But I was where the man used to get £2.7 shillings for it. I was doing it for £2, you know, which was a fortune for the young lad them days. And I was on that until I got recalled for the army. And one of the funniest things was, my brother was at work and I put my brother's name forward. My brother got my job. Called from the army.
Was it hard work?
Very hard work, hard and dirty. And I mean, the chimney used to be a massive chimney, and the fumes from the place used to come over into Bladen, which was very strong. And a lot of people used to say that the fumes from the chemicals killed the germs. And it was funny. I mean, the men working there lived the right old ages, you know. And so, as I say, I got called up. And
what date was this?
15th of February, 1940.
So you'd seen, you were a young man when war was coming along. What signs were there at the time that war was coming?
Well, you know,
that registered with yourself.
Well, you see, we knew, and of course, in the June, we all had to sign up for the army. You know, the June 1939 was the first militia sort of style. And so when it was coming, you had to come, and I got a 6 months extension with my mother being on her own. But the thing, I mean, got a call up to go to Brantford Castle, Durham. Well, in those days, you hadn't been past Newcastle, or Whitley Bay was the farthest you had travelled. But one of the biggest thrills we got to Central Station and looked on the platform for Durham. And there was 20 lads that all had been to school with me, all from the same classes. Frankie Cox, who died after the war, and Alfie Robertson from Dunstan, and we'd all been, you know, it was great. Then we went to Bransworth Castle.
Before we go on with that aspect of your story, how did your mother take the fact that you were taken away in the army?
My mother was a brave woman. She says you had to go. She says, and I don't want any cowards. That was her attitude. And the little thing was, I worked at the factory, and the factory owned the house. They came to work too, and owned the flat where my mother lived. And while I was away, the house was protected. But that meant when I come back, I had to go back to the factory. And so my mother, I knew my mother was all right for the rent, you know, which was a big thing in those days. But all that, it was only 2 and 6, that 3 and 6 it might have been then, but that was a big help to her.
So when you arrived to Bransworth, what kind of reception did you get on that very first day as you came up to the gates?
Remember, this was the castle. Just the castle, not the camp wasn't there then. We just had to go down this, everything was down in the cellar, you know. And I think we all, just forget it, what time it is. Well, it must be about 2 o'clock, and they said, your lunch. And there was a big bath tin with lumps of cheese and lumps of bread and like basins, and you'd have to go and scoop your bowl of tea and get your piece of cheese, and you know, we looked, and that's when we said, what I would like to have said before here, you know. And yes, we all looked at it, it was, you know, it looked real rough, and I think we got some broth or soup, and that's just the same basin that you had for your tea, you just had to use that, and that was it. Then we were given a tin hat, a rifle and bayonet, blouse and trousers, the old fashioned battle dress, and we boarded buses for different places.
So this was on the first day?
The very first day. Then we went straight from there, went to Spennymoor. Well, we got broke off into sections, and we were put in the Masonic Hall in Spennymoor. And then we called outside, and this was the first bit march. We had to march from there to the drill hall in Spennymoor. And there we got blankets and my cup and knife, fork and spoon and that thing. I think we got gaiters and that, because I remember the gaiters well, because I lost mine the first night. And
Lost or stolen?
Yes. Because when I went on parade the next morning, the sergeant says, where's your gaiters? I says, somebody stole them. So everybody was held in barracks, and everybody had to take the gaiters off and found mine, because the first thing we had to do with them was put a stamp on them, a number, and so I got these gaiters back.
What happened to the chap that had the gaiters?
I don't know, but he was one of the men, the old soldiers, you know, they were helping to train you, you know, I mean, and they knew all the tricks of the trade sort of style, right? So went back to the billets. And the sergeant called it, and he said, I want you to get 3 biscuits each and fire bed. Now we were looking around, and we didn't know what the biscuits were. I didn't know what we're supposed to be looking for. You know, them damn things there. And because it turned out there was only 2, so everybody just got 2. And 1940, it was real bad winter, very cold, and then the sergeant told, well, up the next morning, washed and shaved, nicely dressed, shave, whether you shave or not, you shave. And where's the bathroom? And he opened the back door, and there was a pipe, standard pipe in the street, there's your bathroom. And it was the water in the street, that was it. The first breakfast was memory. Got a beautiful white plate, knife and fork, and one little bit such as put on that plate. It took to awful. But the lesson I found out was me being brought up to where I was. I wasn't parked anything I would eat. And I found out it wasn't good to sit against lads that were parky because you got food off them. And the same lads used to get a lot of food parcels. A lot of lads from Yorkshire joined us that the same day, and they all got food parcels, and I was amongst those food parcels. It was great bunch of lads from Yorkshire.
It was usual to share food parcels with the little group.
Yeah, but I never got any food. Another thing, it may be nothing wrong, but the ones that had been parted with their food, they wouldn't eat the army food, and they would eat just eat the fancies from home. They were the very men that took the injections so badly. Now they were all seemed to be sick where the other lads got through it.
You mentioned that you got two biscuits. Were these just placed on the floor, or did you have beds?
No, just on the floor. Never had a bed in the army. Right through, I never had a bed. So
you had your blankets and you had your biscuits, your uniform, obviously.
Mm.
How was the billets organised in the sense that there'd be so many of you in the hall? Mm. How was it kept clean?
Well, there was one had to be left behind every day, every morning. And the billet way in, there was a big room. And I don't know many was in the room actually, but I was in the small room where there was seven of us. And but when you were told to clean up, you had to clean the whole lot. I'm not sure whether one or two did it, but
And this was on a rota.
In a rota, yes. Well, then I got into a good scheme after that. We been in two or three days. And the colonel wanted to speak to everybody that had been coming that year, so we were spending more dance halls, we were all in there for this. And they said, they start asking anybody to sing a song, tell the truth. No, I said, oh, yes. So I put them for singing the song, so I got myself in the concert party, which meant you did no more fatigues, because when there was fatigues at night, you would do a concert party practice. And it was very... We put a marvellous show on, a real great show at Spenny Moor, and great success. I remember the time because my brother used to sing as well, and I bought his evening suit. So I was in the evening suit, white shirt and bow tie, when I come on stage. I got a few whistles, but it was Spenny Moor, it was great. I had to sing an encore, so I sang Bladen Races. Being from Bladen, I couldn't help it. And so that was great.
Can we come back to your accommodation and how you had to live in those early days? You said that the washroom was a pipe outside, isn't it?
It was in the back, just a tap in the back street.
What about toilets?
I can't tell you. I couldn't tell you what... Oh, there must have been a toilet as well, but I couldn't tell you. That mine doesn't carry that back.
Your breakfast, you said, was the first one, anyway, was particularly small. Did the food improve at all after that?
Well, as I said, it wasn't bad. We didn't starve, and it was always a great cardboard carton of marmalade, which was a thing I had never had before. But I mean, anything to fit, and there was always plenty of bread. I think we must have survived all right.
Where did you eat?
In the ground floor of the Spenningworth Town Hall, and that's where the shower baths were as well.
Mm-hmm. And did you parade to march to this from your billet?
You had parade from the billet. Our billet was just opposite. Some of them were further away. Then you had. Well, I did one guard. We stand outside there, and you know, when the lads were training, if they went past, you had to come to attention, and if they had their rifles, you had to call the guard out, sort of style. And but that's where the welcome we got off the people was marvellous. Mind, we're marvellous, but we've only there for 6 weeks. Oh, and I won my first cross country race here, Mayor. Yes, I won my first cross country race, and we got moved after 6 weeks.
Can we deal with the first 6 weeks? Put there first. The what training were you doing in those initial 6 weeks?
Well, the drill was the hardest. You know, the drill was the hardest.
How did they teach you the drill?
Well, we're just in the front street, the side street, and I don't know, I forget the name of this corner, but he was at this sergeant, but he was a very fit man. He was a PT instructor, but he drilled us, you know, and then we used to march from there up to the park. We did a lot of training in the park. I always remember the sergeant shouting halt, and then when you're on country, how can you find me? And he was standing behind a tree, you know, showing how you can hide yourself and things like that, little things like that. And we went to the quarries at Spennymoor with a 5-hour rifle. Then
how did that go first time, do you recall?
Not spectacular, but I followed up with the Bren gun, and we had to fire on Bren gun, and everybody had just fired single shot Bren gun, which I'd been told, because I switched mine the wrong way, and I sent a burst and it shook everybody, but it was on target, because I always found after that the sights of the Bren gun were easier to read than the ordinary Lee Enfield rifle, you know. The front of the, what was it, the top of the foresight and line with the backsight. But the circular one and the Bren always suited me better. Not that I use it much after that.
Did you like the Lee Enfield?
Well, I mean, what was it? Was it a Boer War or the 1914 War? I mean, it was still the same equipment, wasn't it? I mean, it was, and I mean, when a couple of years later, I mean, everybody facing you had an automatic machine, terrible. I mean, miles behind the times, I mean, as far as I was concerned. I mean, in later years, we would find that when we went in the desert, we found one miles. I mean, well, little tanks against his tanks. And the biggest thing was the petrol. We had the thin tins and the burst, and he had solid tins that didn't burst, the same as the big can, which everybody calls a jerry can now. Compared to that, we were using Westo petrol tins. I mean, he was miles ahead of us that way. That's come later on.
The drill that you were doing, did they gradually build you up to light infantry pace, or did you set off from the beginning at that pace?
Well, no, we knew no different. We were just straight in it, and that was it. I mean, that was it. But we just, you know, we knew nothing else. You know,
did you have an audience for this? Because you were in the middle of the town.
They just ignored it. No, they never stood and watched. They just ignored it because they must have been used to it. Then we must have been a few. Even then, I remember my first wages went in on a Tuesday, and we got paid on a Friday. And, you know, 7 shillings for the entitlement, we only got 5 shillings for barrack room damages. We had to pay for how the barrack room had been damaged by the ones before. Well, that's, you know, you've got to read into what you like. And he said, here's your money. Now, Woolworth's just around the corner. You want some blanco? You want some polish? You want some polishing cloth? So we all tripped on. I think the lasses in World War II were coming over already for us. When you think back, it was, and of course, the first weekend, and the girlfriend I had at the time sent me a stone 6-foot post loader for my bus fare to come home for the weekend.
Was that immediately the first weekend that you were there? Or sometime afterwards?
We got a weekend off because we had TAB injection, and we had an old soldier was 48 hours off after this month, and we all got that.
Did the injection affect you at all?
It didn't. I see it. These ones that were porky affected them. So that was spinning more.
Did you do any route marches at this stage? First 6 weeks.
Well, we did some, but not very many. You know, and there were nothing compared to what we were doing later on. I think the biggest one was when we moved from there, and we moved to Ashwin for a second bit of training.